Committee meeting of February 2nd, 2021. To order. I have myself, Alderman Muchuski, I see Alderman Peterson, and Alderman Pope, Alderman Frieders is not here, and Alderman Funkhauser sitting in, and hello staff. So we've determined we have no citizens' comments. Is anybody in Zoom land got any comments? Okay. We have the minutes for correction and approval of January 5th, 2021. Any comments or corrections? Are we good? Okay, we'll take that as presented. New business 1, EDC 2021-09, the building permit report for December 2020.
Okay, in December, this will be the 27 single-family detached homes, 4 single-family attached homes, and 4 commercial permits. That ends out the calendar year with 317 single-family homes permitted in the city this year. That ends up with a total of 1,827 total permits for the year. So basically, it was, as the thing shows, was $2,762,392 in permitting fees charged this year. And that adds total of the calendar year was over $60 million in construction value to the community. So that was an outstanding year this year for the calendar year.
Great. Any comments or questions on the report? Okay, great. Let's go on to 2021-10 building inspection report for December 2020.
In December, we did 512 inspections total. Of those, I did the lion's share of 219 of them. Like I said, again, we're seeing more outsourcing this month than last month, and we're going to probably see a good deal more outsourcing of inspections going forward from now on, due to the fact that with the increased permits and everything else, it just is adding on to my office work, so I'm not able to go out in the field as often anymore. But I'm still maintaining a presence and I'm managing all the inspectors, so I'm having weekly conversations with our outsource company and their administration, and we're just trying to get everything nailed down and sorted out so all our builders stay happy.
Okay, any comments and questions on the inspection report?
December, we only heard one case in front of the hearing officer, and that was a building code permit. That was on 471 East Kennedy Road. That was, they were building a fence without having a permit for it. So we've been having, that property has kind of been a bit of a problem, not a problem, but a bit of a item of contention. The adjacent property owner there is in the county, where this property is in the city. The property owner in the county keeps asserting to us that they've filled in their land and brought the elevation up, causing his property to become floodplain. That was where this all came about. The nice thing about this was that it allowed us to actually request a permit with a plot of survey. The bad thing is, apparently, back when this house was built, the plot of survey, no one decided to make them put any elevations on it. So even though we have the plot of survey now on file, it doesn't even give us a clue where the elevation used to be at. So with that issue, we're kind of at back to where we started at. But now we know exactly where the property lines are, at least. I mean, that's one thing. But we've probably invested, just trying to find out what to fill in this, we've probably invested over 120 staff hours trying to find out what the elevation was and dealing with EEI and dealing with other people, because it's the neighboring property is owned by Fred Davis, and he's very concerned since the state defined his property as wetlands now, where it used to be the neighbor property was defined as wetlands. So it's an ongoing issue. So as Alderman, you might hear about that at some point in time, but that's, we're trying everything we can, but we just don't have the information necessary to help at all with that issue.
Okay. Any comments or questions on this? Move on to 5, EDC 2021-13, the renewal of an intergovernmental agreement with Kendall County for building inspection services.
Oh, Sure. I thought we were going to do the EDC report, but that's okay. You have the report in front of you. I think it's all self-explanatory. Just wanted to also just mention, though, that things are going well with the conversion from Blackstone to Silverfox, and looks like he's on target for opening Valentine's Day weekend. And it's a big difference of what he's done in there, because color palette has changed and it's just different lighting, and I think everybody's going to be very surprised. Of course, the patio is not, it's probably going to be 28 below zero on Valentine's Day, but the interior will be ready to go, and they're very excited about taking over and what they're going to bring to the community. So that's the only other update I would have.
Any comments or questions? Okay, thank you, Lynn. All right, Christine, now let's go on to 5EDC 2021-13, Renewal of Intergovernmental Agreement, Kendall County for Building Inspection Services.
Sure. This is a continuation of the last 7 years that we've had this intergovernmental agreement with Kendall County. There's a chart that kind of shows the interaction that we've had with the county over the years. In the beginning, it was a lot of inspections done by the city for Kendall County, and same vice versa. But over the years, the numbers have decreased on both sides. We still are committed to this agreement and extending it for another year. There have been no substantial changes, actually no changes to this version of the agreement. The last version had an update with general liability changes, which have been continued in this agreement. And so both the county and the city are supportive of this. And if you are willing to extend it, we ask that this be placed on the February 9th City Council meeting for approval.
Any comments or questions on the agreement? Are we okay to move it on to City Council? I think it should go on the consent agenda. Let's see what John says. Okay, so let's go on to 6EDC 2021-14, Cornelius Property Concept Plan.
I'll take that one. If you recall, this piece is about 13 acres. It had a development agreement and annexation agreement attached to it back in 07. This piece right now, it has a kind of a horse stable on it, but the development plan for it had two zoning classifications. At that time, they were called flex zoning. So the underlying main zoning was B3, but there was an opportunity to have the development have an R4, which is a general residence district, which is multifamily attached housing. And that was permitted if the developer moved forward with either assisted living or an active living, adult type living housing development on a portion of that property. Nothing happened with the property during that time. And now the owner is seeking to just get some general feedback from the EDC in regards to the plan that they've presented in their packet. And the plan has a kind of a multi-story, multi-building apartment complex with some green space. Staff did kind of a brief comparison of what the current zoning would allow and what the proposal is. And there were some areas that they were seeking that is kind of outside of what the current zoning would permit. If this project were to go forward, it would require a PUD agreement as well as a rezoning and a special use for the PUD. With that, their owner and a representative is here to talk about the property if you have any questions. But if you want me to go a little bit further in the contrast of what would be permitted now under the current or and what they've planned, I can do that as well.
Okay, do we have any comments or questions? Ken, Jason? No?
Not at this time, I don't.
Okay. I just wanna make sure I'm reading this right. because I got it on my iPad, it's a little not as clear. These are six-story buildings that we're talking about?
Yes. So there are four buildings, apartment complexes, six stories, almost about 300 units, rental units. And then there's a surface parking as well, and some green space and a clubhouse. So they have not submitted a formal application for review. So this is just to get initial feedback. So if there is positive feedback for the developer to move forward, then they would invest some time and money into drafting a plan so that they could have a formal submittal. But if there is no interest, particularly in regards to density, which would be the area that they would need significant relief from, they would not move forward with the project. Right now, the code only allows 8 dwelling units per acre, so they would be allowed a maximum of 105 units, rental units, and they're asking for 300.
And do we know I know it's early in the game, what's kind of proposed? I think Bart and I, we talked about the comprehensive plan and that, like, are we looking at the properties around that to be single family, or?
So this particular property would be located in the transit oriented development recommendation of the comprehensive plan. So it would be consistent with that, because with TODs, you can have single family, multifamily, attached housing. You want that density of housing and commercial to support a transportation land use near it. So it would be consistent with the comprehensive plan.
Ken, did you have something?
So six stories, can our fire department handle that kind of a thing? I mean, that's the only thing I was wondering about when I was looking at it, how the safety part of it, you know, I thought that we couldn't do anything over three stories.
So Pete can address this, but we've had this conversation with the fire district in the past. They do have the capability of addressing larger height buildings.
And so what's the next step that they need from us so they go forward? Or?
Yeah.
So they're
and these would be fully fire suppressed structures, 100%, and they'd be a type one construction, would be a non-combustible. Totally, anything over three stories. So basically the hotel, the hotel is the largest building, the tallest building you can build with any type of combustible materials. So any building in the city that were to jump above that three-story limit would be a type one or type two construction, which is an all masonry cement construction. They do not burn. And my understanding from the fire marshal is, and I didn't talk about this project specifically, but I talked about the hotel when they were proposing it first, they wanted it to be a six-story. They do have the equipment to get that, to gain that high. And there'd be special considerations in that aspect. But yeah, they are equipped.
I was going to answer the last question that Ken had. According to the developer, the property owner, they're just looking for direction on if it would be acceptable to have the density that they're requesting before they decide to move forward with the project. And so they kind of want feedback.
Then the density is more because it's six stories, though, or that's kind of where the crux is, right?
Dan, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, am I muted or am I good?
You're good.
You're good.
Well, first thing I have to say is the city side of it is much more photogenic on Zoom than an old guy like me. So you guys look a lot better than I do. Ken hit the nail on the head. The six stories does create more density, but some of the amenities that the developer, Abel Marin, who's done other work in the city, wants to include can really generate the density he needs. One of the things that we told him when he came in with the first draft with the owner and myself and looked at it is we said, look, if you want upper-end apartments, and this past week and this weekend, we'll bear it out, the upper Midwest isn't a wonderful place to have no indoor parking. So one of the things we strongly encouraged him to do in those back buildings, they're going to be in-building parking as well as surface parking. So, you know, that way he can get his rents up and you're getting a nice high-level rent. Christy was right on beat. if I came with this project and this density any other place in Yorkville other than a transit-oriented, you should just throw me out of the meeting and don't even talk to me, because this is the only place you would get that enhanced density, in my view, anyway. The other part is that we think by what he's planning to do with upper-end rents is make it not age-restricted, 55, I'm not trying to convince you of that, but age-targeted. And we've had some experience in Oswego and Plainfield with this type of development, frankly, Naperville, where if you keep the rents high and you only do one and two bedroom, the student yield is very, very low, and you end up basically with an age community. And yet, people young enough that got some nickels in their pocket that are going to spend money. We think the development fits in well with the commercial with Boomba across the street and strip center. And I think you're going to get nothing but more commercial as the town's growing at that intersection of Corneals and 47. I see that as a real high-end growth. Bart, I don't know, did the state back up in their transportation plan and look more at putting a light there? I know for a while they were calling for no light, and I'm thinking that would be a killer for Yorkville in terms of you could really get a high-end business user with a light, so I'm hoping they backed off of that.
So the state has looked at the warrants for a traffic signal at Corneals and 47 a few times over the years and has determined that based on our existing growth patterns and what's planned tentatively in the future, that it does not warrant a stoplight. So with a project like this, I don't know if that would flip their internal analysis to say that it's okay, they have looked at it in the past and determined no signal is warranted yet.
Yeah, I knew that was their past position. I would think this would help, generate the need for a light there again. And again, Abel has some, and I don't want to get out over my skis, but some commercial connections with his primary business that he's lobbying them to look at that corner of Corneals, frankly, in 47. So, again, will we end up with 300 in an actual hardline plan? I suspect we'll get knocked down just by some of the limitations and soils and so on. But if he got in the range of 280 or more, it works out for him to bring the utilities to the site, do a very, very nice clubhouse. And then those little squares you see ringing the parcel, those would be either two or four unit rentals, but townhouse type rentals with, again, an indoor garage. And I think those are so much more marketable than, like, take across the street from my office. Those Colonial Parkways are nice enough units, but they're all outside parking, and that's just tough in winter. Nobody likes to carry groceries in. So Abel's position was, look, I've got the architectural drawings, and he has an architect he works all the time with, so he can work on those things without putting a fortune in. But the next step would be to commit some serious both on and off-site engineering, and that's going to be quite expensive. So if the city position, and again, I realize you can't vote here, was we won't look at anything over 8 units an acre. You couldn't build a transit-oriented project. But if we're somewhere in that 280 range, and if we got to go down a few more because site constrictions, we'll be flexible, but he's got to be up in that range to cost it out and keep the higher end apartments he's looking at. So that's all we are looking for is, you know, if you guys told us you absolutely hate the idea, he doesn't want to spend a fortune and insult you. If it's something you're willing to take a look at, he's got an excellent land planner. He's got H.R. Green on board as the engineer. The architect does a lot of commercials for a certain large box store that I won't mention that we would like to get to come to Yorkville, to Cornell, it's then 47. So we think this could be great for everybody. So, thank you.
So Dan, when you talk about the parking, does every unit get an indoor parking spot?
Nope, the indoors will only be those eastern two units.
Okay.
The rest will be outdoor surface parking, but the rear two will definitely be indoor parking, and we'll have enough spaces for two cars a unit.
So the building that looks like a U?
Yeah.
the access onto 47, you know, right across the street from that is YPAC, and that can be very dangerous when people are going in and out with kids. So is there something that we can do, like we've done with other developments, that they have to do some improvements there?
Well, I think, again, one of the first places we'll visit with your staff, Christia and Jason, and whoever you want, Eric as Public Works Director, is a visit with IDOT down at Ottawa, Jackie, to see what their thoughts are. Because you're right, I've been through there at nights coming back from closings in Aurora, right when YPAC is before COVID, when they got people going in and out. Boy, it's scary.
It's scary, yeah. And then you're going to have your entrances somehow. Well, this you're showing too, so it's like, our. Is it planned that one of your entrances will line up with theirs, or are they going to be the middle somewhere between there? There's something to take into consideration there.
I mean, those are things that have to be looked at, definitely. I can't tell you. And again, with this kind of density, I would be absolutely willing to bet that IDOT will insist on a left turn lane going south at one of the two entrances.
If you have that many units, that's a lot of traffic in it.
Exactly. And again, I would... Also, and I'm not the traffic expert, and by the way, we do have a traffic firm lined up, and I always get their initials wrong, Mark, you may know them too, KLOA, it's not COLA, but they, most of the municipalities use them throughout the Chicago suburbs here. My suspicion is they'll say, you'll never get two full cuts from IDOT there, we'll get one full and a right in, right out, is my suspicion.
Anybody have anything else while we're
done? Yeah, so Bart, in the 47 widening, that's supposed to be widened all the way to Sugar Grove, right? And where does that plan start at? Does it start on our side, or does it start in Sugar Grove, or?
Generally, they're working from the north to south in that the section between Cross Street and Sugar Grove and basically Baseline Road is planned to go first, but that's fluid. And I don't know that the section that this would be adjacent to is going to be that much farther behind it in practice once they finish design and then bid it out, but those things are probably still years away. But as part of our development process, the right-of-way is already relatively earmarked for the entire length. And my recollection is that it's on the east side of the road, so towards this project. And so as part of the development process, that would be something that we would look at with our engineers and our planners to make sure that they're either dedicating the appropriate right-of-way or that the state is interfacing with them in some point or another to take this project into account.
IDOT has contacted the owners just in the last month or so about acquisition of right-of-way, so Bart's right on beam. We told them the project's coming, so they've heard that. But their appraiser, he didn't have COVID, but he was out about a month ill, so they're a little bit behind on this, but they want to get going right away. Jason?
Jason?
Yeah, so you touched a little bit on it's going to be age-targeted. My concern would be how many families would be moving in and if anybody's communicated with the school district, because I know some of the schools are already overcrowded, and if we've got this many units coming in that could potentially have families, that can really push them to their limits.
Again, Jason, at this point, we haven't gone to the schools. We always do, and certainly will. One of the nice advantages we have in Yorkville is the diversity, where we not only got the Yorkville system, but we got Cross, we got the Christian School out in 126. We got Parkview Academy in the Old Walker. We got St. Mary's in Plano. So we got some relief valves that are useful. Not saying that's the total answer, but believe
sure.
me, we will go to Superintendent Shipp and talk to him. We just didn't want to get too far out over our skis. As you can tell, just the names I've mentioned, we're talking at least five professional disciplines that you're looking at a whole bunch of money up front that Abel said, try and get some kind of feel whether they're flexible or it's just a definite no. And even though they're not committing to a certain number of units, if they indicate they can be flexible, I'm ready to turn the plan or the planning team loose and get those answers. So we'd go to IDOT very quickly. We'd go to Dr. Shipp at the school district. a number of groups like that that we need to talk to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing.
Yes,
probably for Bart. So the property south of this, is that all one piece? Because the train station would go on the south side of the tracks, or is that going to be on the other side of the tracks? And I just try to get an idea of that, how that lines up.
So I'm going to look to Christy for the answer to the first question, and I don't have a map in front of me, but I think that there's only one property between this one and the train tracks.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know if the Fisher family that was part of the Conover family still own it. I didn't look at the tax records yet to see if they sold it. But last I knew, it was Gail Fisher and her husband that owned it. Or it was one parcel.
So we're seeing some nodding heads there. And then the layout and the location of the station is still yet to be determined as part of the Metro design process. We did pick, as part of their design process, a preferred choice that had the station on the south side of the tracks, kind of shoehorned in between the tracks and the Wrigley factory, because there's enough space for that and pretty much nothing else. So given the nature of that adjacent property to the south being the Wrigley factory and industrial, you know, the development opportunities for the city to have a transportation-oriented development are north of the tracks. And you kind of see a similar thing with Oswego. Most of their new development is going to be on the north side of their tracks too, even though their station is expected to be on the south side as well.
And reason being with that, the station being on the south side, parking would be on the north side as well as the south side. So it would take up both sides of that area for the transportation location.
Isn't it true that there's not a definite site? Aren't there like three in Yorkville?
You're correct. Yeah, that was the one that we said that we preferred, but we did list two or three other options. And quite frankly, I think until we get into the actual like site design process, you know, I think a lot of things are going to be up in the air with the actual location.
I just have one other comment. I kind of have a history of this. I don't like big, tall buildings. That, you know, you're going to take down all the beautiful trees there, so you're looking at a prairie again. And we're going to have, what, three buildings? Just rise up and be six stories. And somehow I just don't always know if that's the character of the area. You know, we did that by St. Pat's. They were looking at that with the seniors. And, you know, we've talked about the downtown Christie, you know, on the west side. I just think that's kind of something I'm just not too thrilled on, having that tall of a building. Because you don't know right now. You know, if you had other stuff planned and that was going to be the whole area, but that might not happen, then you're just going to have this one little plot of, you know, acreage with these huge buildings on it. So
we'll have the Mars Towers, though, if you look next door when you drive by the next time. We'll match theirs.
So that's just a comment for me. In the annexation agreement that's out there now, it does not have school transition fees. Is that correct? So that will that be addressed?
It will
well,
be.
Well, certainly, because yeah. a couple ways to do it. I mean, it will be subject to land cash. There's absolutely no question about it. One way we've approached it, and please take this delicately, I'm not trying to be rude, that we did in a couple of other communities and school transition fees, because it was age targeted, we went card rate and school transition fees, but we paid them based on enrolled students living in the units. So we agreed, I think, on one a 5-year and one a 10-year deal, that you give us each September what your enrollment is out of our unit. The owner writes a check for transition fees for the number of students you got. That way, where you've got the age target like this, it's fair to everybody. They get students into the system, they're getting the transition fee. Turns out, like, we think that it will be extremely small student yield. You're not paying for something you're not getting, although you have bought in on land cash, sir. So it almost sounds like a bounty, and I know that's rather crass, so we would find a better word.
Any other questions, or Alderman Funkhauser, you're out there. Anybody think you wanted to ask any questions?
question on the age targeting you mentioned. So this will be a restricted age target. Are
And again, I'm not trying to play semantics. It will not be age restricted, where you must have nobody under the age of 19 for more than like 90 days, and it will be age targeted. And by that I mean, again, when you're not getting the three bedroom, you tend to limit the number of students. And I'm not saying there won't be a playground at all. That would be rather rude for grandparents or just friends coming over. So there will be a playground, but the outdoor space, the green space, might be more in terms of walking trails, bike trails, almost like one of those exercise fitness stations for adults. So you're gearing everything towards less young school-age children. Now, you could get the 30-year-old that can't find a job after he graduated from college back living with mom and dad in the two-bedroom, but you don't get too many kids, is all, Chris.
So you're not, this will not be age-restricted.
Correct.
But it'll be age-targeted. So that'll be a deviation from the annexation agreement when it talks about assisted living or other active adult type, with the caveat of only one resident under the age of 55.
Exactly. Correct.
Okay. So there will be a deviation from that restriction. So
no question.
Okay. So that the conversation about the transition fees is a good one, as well as obviously the land cash.
Yeah, I think when you find, and Christy will probably bear this out, I would suspect, in communities like this, when you do the land cash calculation, I think actually with the student yield and the tables that that expert would get, and we've had guys and ladies do this before, it ends up that your park space or your recreation contribution ends up actually higher than the school contribution, because those people tend to use your recreational facilities, and you don't generate the school children.
I know you're talking about the density. There's some flexibility in it. Currently, it's shown at basically 23 dwelling units per acre. The comprehensive plan TOD allows for 8 to 12 dwelling units per acre. Assuming this does go to a TOD-oriented area, you know, I could understand moving that number, you know, from 12 to 14, 16 dwelling units, but to go three times up to 23 dwelling units per acre is a substantial increase, which also has a correlation, as I mentioned in the memo, to the impervious surfaces, which is going to probably exceed the 70% of the site, I believe. And then we also do have a, it looks like some reduced side yard setbacks. We're talking 10 feet is what it looks like for the townhomes to the side yards. I think it was noted in the memo for 25 feet, but it looks more like 10. So there are some current concerns about that, especially with the scope, the scale of this development. I think there are ways we could make it work, bringing the buildings down, bringing the density down. Have you guys taken a look at this, the trees? That's something that is mentioned in the annexation agreement about preservation, or is that just going to be a, you know, take them down and move along?
No, we've looked at that seriously, because I've been here in the community over 40 years, and that's always been a beautiful stand of shagbark, hickories, and oak. Unfortunately, what's happened is they've really aged, like I have, and a lot of them are hollowed out. There's a lot of rot and a lot of them coming down. And at least the tree people we talked to said, look, once you start digging around there, particularly on the anywhere near the oak's roots, what's there is going to go. So I'd love to say we could preserve them, but they said it just won't happen. On the lot coverage, that was something we were real mindful of, about the 70%, and that was why the going up. But that's why I don't know if you were on the whole time when I mentioned HR Green. I mean, I know we're going to be less than 300, because if IDOT takes a little bit on the condemnation, and they're talking some on the front, and we then get HR Green in to roll up their sleeves on stormwater, you know we'll be at 300 or less than 300. But the 300, from a theoretical point of view, was what the architect thought he could put in, meeting the land coverage And he did tell us he figured 25-foot setbacks on the perimeter, but again, those are all things we have to proof out in a hard line. I understand that.
So when you're looking at this site with the intensity, there's four central buildings, and then the townhomes, the six buildings around the perimeter.
Right.
So that density is obviously something that you're trying to hit, you're trying to achieve that. We're kind of playing speculation on the comprehensive plan here, whether or not the TOD is going to happen here. Like Bart said, there's a couple other places for that. That hasn't been determined. Based on a comprehensive plan, this isn't even really identified as residential. Granted, there's entitlement to this property, which supersedes our comprehensive plan for that. So I'm going to give credence to the annexation comp plan for having this as offices and industrial type of uses based on the comp plan. So allowing residential here on the entire site is not an issue for me. My only concern will be looking at the density as it moves forward to see where can we strike a balance. I agree with Jackie, the six stories might be a little high. I'd actually rather, let's get rid of some townhomes, add, maybe a fifth building and bring down the height of the buildings overall. That might be my consideration on that one.
That one, they don't let me touch anything drawing, so I'll let you folks talk with planners.
So something to think about is maybe, I know the townhomes have a high value, but maybe there's an option of how to bring down those buildings a little bit in their height.
Yeah, I mean, with the townhomes, they're not going to be for sale units. He looks at, Amo will be the owner of the entire site. So that was something we had a brief discussion with the mayor, and he indicated that, oh my God, with this many rental units, I can just see nightmare for our billing department on water and so on. I said, well, it would be nice if you have A, ownership, that you pick up the phone if you're having a problem out there with noise or this or that, you've got one owner instead of 300. So the townhomes would be rental as well, or townhome style, but he just thought it might be a nice mix for somebody that doesn't want to live in a high rise. But again, I think he'll be flexible, and the architect, I've seen his work, he does nice work, so I'll put him in touch with you folks at planning.
Thank you. My final question, has a feasibility study for absorption of the apartments been done, or is that being contemplated to see if you can absorb 300 units?
I think what'll happen is he'll do that after he gets some preliminary stormwater engineering and so forth back from HR Green. So he knows what's feasible on the site. And then his lender is going to send him to our old friend Tracy Cross, who did, all the numbers and feasibility studies and everything from Chicago to Lakewood over in Plano. And yes, his lender wants to see a feasibility study, but Abel won't get to that point until he sees what physically the engineer tells him he can do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good comments from everybody.
Just one thing to follow up what Chris was saying. Do you think there's a market for that many rentals? I mean, that seems like it would be a lot of rental properties, and I just wonder if that exists, right, even in our 10-year plan.
Abel thinks there is, and again, I give him credit in the business, and I'm not the money guy or the population expert, but they look at a couple things. He doesn't think the rental market will actually be generated from the millennials or the younger people. You're a tad younger than I am, Ken, but folks like you or I that maybe just don't want home ownership anymore and yet want a nice place to live, and people that are early retirees that kind of head south or west for the winter but want a nice place here, he thinks there's a real market for that. I mean, we have a lot of rental units in town for families now. And with that mortgage foreclosure crisis from 07 to 14, what's happened is the rents for families are outrageous. I mean, they're way more than a house payment if you can get a mortgage now if you've got good credit. But by keeping the rents up high, he thinks he's going to get, a very, very good class of folks and more like your age to my age than younger people, frankly.
So we have four
what are we looking at? Do we want to have the other four chime in and have a discussion at City Council? What do you suggest, Bart?
I think that's up to the group and partially to the developer and their attorney. You know, this is kind of outside of our normal development review process. So, you know, they asked for some feedback. We've given it. They haven't submitted anything to us yet, so there isn't a formal process going forward. So,
none of you have yelled at me or thrown me off the Zoom yet, so I look at that as being a good sign.
I just checked there isn't a toss emoji on the Zoom system here, so.
Well, and I noticed Ken Koch has got his Columbo down where he's got one more thing. I loved it. It sounds like you're at least willing to discuss, and if you are, that's all I'm looking for tonight. I'm not asking anybody to make any blood oaths.
Okay, so is everybody good then? We got it, all the input in. Jason, you have anything else? You're good?
No, I think I got all my input. It would be nice to discuss with the rest of the council on a project this big.
Agree.
Well, do we want to do that, or do we want to wait and see where, you know, what the developer, where he takes what we said tonight and goes with it? I don't know. I mean, maybe we scared him off, maybe we didn't. I don't know. It's up to you. Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe they should go and talk, and we can either come back to us one more time before you go to council, or you can share a general conversation with the council. Either way, because there's a lot we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's give them some time to mull it over, and then we can take it to council once we talk to them again.
That sounds fair. Have you guys mull it over, bring it back to us and EDC, and we'll go from there?
Very good. That's fair. And maybe if we did, let's say, another one like this with EDC next month, you could invite if the other members of the council want to attend it. I certainly don't have any problem with any of you discussing with the other aldermen, but if they want a shot, you know, to pepper me with the questions that you did tonight, I don't mind answering any of them again.
Okay. We're all good with that?
Yep.
All right. Let's plan then.
Thank you for your time. And I love the Zoom. This was good. Take care.
Take care,
dear.
Good
night. Thanks.
Night.
Good night.
Okay. We have 7 EDC 2021-15 Parking Regulations, West Van Emmon Street.
So almost a year ago to the day, we had a discussion from a business owner at the corner of 47 and Van Emmon who wanted to do some restrictive parking because of the type of business that they were established. It was a tea coffee shop with high volumes during the mid-morning. So they wanted some restricted parking, so the city council approved limited parking for 4 stalls on street between the hours of 8 and 2. That land use is still restaurant land use, but they've changed their kind of operation hours, so they're more late lunch, early dinner kind of operation now. So the business owner, as well as the property owner, approached the city to see if we can just release that restriction that we have on there. So it would require repeal of an ordinance that we passed last year. Staff is supportive of it, and if EDC is supportive of it, we'd ask that it would move to the February 9th meeting for repeal.
So
are you
moved.
Okay
with that too.
Okay, let's do that. And let's put that on consent agenda. Or can we do that because we're repealing it or not?
You can.
Let's go for it. All right, so do we have any old business? Do we have any additional business? Well, then I think